Hello and welcome back to In the Loop. I'm your host, Ed Edens, and today we have a good friend of mine on the show, somebody who was lucky enough to work a suite in the Super Bowl in New Orleans this past weekend and got to experience some pretty interesting things. Allison Lindeen, thanks for being on the show.
Of course, no problem.
So we'll start from the beginning here. I mean, you obviously you live and work in New Orleans these days, and you knew the Super Bowl was coming, Mardi Gras is this coming weekend. But then, how did this come to be?
So my roommate happened to mention that her aunt, this is a really long connection, also has some kind of connections to the catering company in the Superdome. So she could, you know, get a list down of people who wanted to work in suites during the Super Bowl. So I said, sign me up to be in the Superdome during the Super Bowl.
Obviously.
Yeah. And, yeah, it just came to be. I'm actually, you know, they took on, so this will, I don't know if this will come into play later in my life, but I'm actually employed by the catering company now because they also had, for the Super Bowl, they had temps, too, that were hired through a temp agency.
Okay.
But I'm hired through the catering company.
Oh, wow.
So I could get some other cool gigs if I wanted to.
So you have two jobs right now. You're basically, you know, working all the time.
I got my side hustle.
So this obviously... you know, you got the invitation, and then wasn't there an application process you had to go through also? It just wasn't kind of like a, you know, volunteer or anything. This was the real deal.
So I ended up having to submit some things through the NFL, too.
Wow.
Which included, you know, just normal application stuff, like Social Security and driver's license and residency. Then we also had to submit a picture with our name.
Okay.
I did that.
I actually, full disclosure, I did see this picture, and it made me think that this application was not based solely on food serving capabilities. That this catering company was probably looking for attractive females to cater to rich people. So that's the point in this story where I really became intrigued by who you're going to be serving, but I had no idea what was going to transpire later on. Yeah.
Right. So then all the employees of this catering company, even if you're employed for 2 years, had to submit this to the NFL, I believe. So I don't really know what kind of interaction the catering company had exactly with the NFL, but I ended up also missing the training date.
Oh, no.
Because I wasn't on the email list. Keep in mind, I have had zero food service experience.
Okay.
But we were assured that if they needed a bartender, they requested a bartender. And, you know, my idea of a suite is just kind of you're replacing food and cleaning up garbage and people kind of do their own thing.
Yeah,
their way.
We've all seen these in places like, you know, the United Center or, you know, different baseball stadiums. They've got the seats that are kind of in a good seating area, but they've also got the little private room with a, you know, like an Italian beef setup or some chips or soda or beer. But obviously, I've never experienced anything like the Super Bowl, and it was a little bit more extravagant than that, from what I can tell.
Well, so they have, the Superdome has 300 level seats and 400 level suites, and we didn't know. So we got there at 6:30 and went through a process of getting approved to enter the Superdome. You know, we got special, like, scanning, things that we wore, and then I got a nameplate.
Oh, wow. Official.
With my name. And we went and got uniforms. So I got to wear, we were told to wear black pants and black shoes.
Okay.
And then we got a nice white button down and a black sweater vest.
Okay. So you said you got there at between 7 and 8 in the morning of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I started at 6:30. I got to my suite probably at 8 a.m., but we had to go through a bunch of different things to getting actually assigned to our suites. And
oh, wow.
you know, collecting uniforms and changing into them and figuring out everything that was going on. So at first the process was running super smoothly and you couldn't mess up anything of where you were going. But then once it came down to like, okay, suite attendants come this way, it was really messy and we were all crowded in one room and no one knew where they were supposed to go or what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I get called into the room and she's like, okay, you're going to floor 16. So I, you know, just wander my way over to floor 16. I'm all alone in the suite at the beginning, and I start looking over. I see that there's, like, a menu list, and I start looking over, and they've got a ton of extra food. So I was pretty prepared. The suite comes with a certain amount of alcohol, and some of it's replaceable and some of it isn't. And then there's certain procedures for ordering extra bottles of alcohol. And then they get, it's like, shrimp and chips and dip and hot dogs are there the entire game. Roast beef, gumbo, you know, so they had a lot of food too.
Pretty extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, I'm looking this over and they've got like 12 extra crab platters and 10 pizzas. And keep in mind, I mean, you've seen the suites and they're not super big and they don't really have a lot of counter space.
Right.
So right away I'm thinking, like, I need to really get my timing down. And then I open the cabinet, and, you know, there's, like, bottles and bottles of Patron and Grey Goose. They brought me 4 bottles of Cold Cristal and then told me where the other 8 were.
Wow.
And so,
well, you actually sent me a comprehensive list here because you had emailed me right after you got home, and I'm just going to read the list verbatim what you sent me. So you said there's a certain amount that are that's already supplied, but on top of that, they ordered 4 bottles of Johnnie Walker Blue Label, 4 bottles of Patron, 4 bottles of Grey Goose, 12 bottles of nice red wine, 12 bottles of nice white wine, and 12 bottles of the Cristal that you already mentioned, and also a bunch of the crab plates that each cost $450. And you said, you know, keep in mind that there's unlimited beer already included and wine already included and 2 bottles of Grey Goose and Crown and Bacardi. So this is like 36 extra bottles of liquor and then 12 bottles of champagne on top of that. So I just wanted to clarify the absurdity of what was ordered for this tiny suite. But
yeah.
But go on.
So keep in mind, it's also like 8 a.m. and I'm feeling extremely overwhelmed at this point thinking of what happened. And also, I have no idea who I'm working with. And knowing that, I really have no idea what kind of is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I count the seats that are, you know, the stadium seating that's available in the suite, and that's 40.
40, okay.
Yeah, and so they get, those are assigned.
Okay.
You know, when you buy a ticket to the suite, it's like suite 416, and then it'll say, you know, like 4B or something.
Gotcha.
And that's also your suite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically, they also order only glassware, which is obviously something that really nice when you're trying to provide a nice environment, you're going to do.
Right.
But it was
I'm just going to point out that I've never provided that nice environment for anybody. I've got a lot of plasticware in my apartment, but I don't think I have any glass at all. But so mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to be offering a suite to anybody along the lines of this extravagance anytime soon.
And no one else had glassware. Nope. And so we had to polish all the glasses and the silverware and the plates that came in. They had 60 shot glasses too. So we're like, okay, people are here for a good time.
So is this how you pass the time between, you know, 8 in the morning and when people started showing up? I assume, you know, people weren't even let in the Superdome until, I don't know, about...
I think it was 1:30.
1:30, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm just watching. Like, I heard Alicia Keys' piano get tuned, and I'm just checking out the field. We ate lunch, too.
I think you should mention also this was on the 50-yard line.
Yes.
So this
right.
is
it was,
probably one of the nicest spots to watch the game, not only in the Superdome, but considering all the amenities and where you're watching from, it's probably one of the nicest spots to watch the game in the country, all things considered. So then, you start hearing, like you said, the piano get tuned, things are starting to happen. So what's
pregame shows are happening.
Right.
And then, a lot of people started walking in, and we had, actually I had a lot of workers that were coming to our suite before, and so I definitely gathered that this was going to be a suite that was significant because people were taking pictures, and workers who have been employed by the catering company were like, oh yeah, 416, we heard about this one.
Wow.
Luckily, the other tenant that I'm working with has been working in the Superdome for a couple seasons.
Okay.
And also like a younger girl like me, so we got along really well.
Good.
And so we get informed that they're not going to show up till a little bit later.
Gotcha.
Too, like right around game time.
Okay.
So we're just hanging out, and three people show up, and it's like an old guy, and then probably a couple that's around 20-something.
Okay.
And a younger boy who's like 17. So I gather their family, and I get them some drinks, show them some food. Then I go run and get something, and I come back, and there's like five policemen walking into our suite, and all of a sudden it's packed. There were like 30 people in there.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, all right, well, I know there's someone famous in here, but it's like go time. So we're pouring drinks, like popping champagne, which I was terrified to do, that I'm going to do something awful, horrendous. And the guy, Gary, who had ended up purchasing and kind of ordering the food and stuff for the suite, had us come meet this woman, Catherine, whose client she was hosting.
Okay.
So none of the famous people in there were, paying for anything or part of it. They were just, I believe, brought in to be some kind of entertainment for a wealthy businessman.
Wow. So you have this woman, Catherine, who is coordinating the whole thing, but she is doing it for her client, who's a wealthy businessman, and all the famous people are there simply to make this businessman
eat food and booze in a good location.
Yeah, feel entertained and important. Oh my gosh! So, oh wow! So I didn't even know that part about the businessman. But obviously, it's getting crazy around this time. Is it getting close to game time by the time you know what's going on?
Yeah. So I mean, they walked in, and then it was pretty much like Jennifer Hudson came on. I think she was first, right?
I believe so.
Lay out that I never saw a play of the game.
Not one play.
Not one play.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
once people came, they all wanted drinks, and we didn't really anticipate that many people being there, and so we weren't super, we had like lined up, Sprite and Coke and tonic and soda water and cranberry juice, but we weren't anticipating, so many people being there at once. And so what I ended up doing was just replenishing all our supplies.
Wow.
So I ended up being like a runner. And it gets crazy. And I want to say I didn't really notice that I knew that there were famous people in there, but I was like, oh, I don't think I'm really going to recognize any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what's going on. And then I start, actually looking around the room. And, the first one right away, I was like, whoa, that's Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. And so that, I'm like making awkward eye contact with him, and he's just kind of standing around. I don't know if I should offer him something or what he's looking for. I'm completely unprepared in how to react to seeing a super famous celebrity.
it's honestly one of the more awkward things that you can do, because you want to interact with them, but at the same time, you're absolutely clueless. You have no idea what to say, how to break the ice, and this just sounds like an environment where you were surrounded by those types of people, but you're also hired to serve them. So.
Right, and so that's in any a normal situation. If I happen to come across him, I might have said something completely different.
Right,
but I just, you know, you're like overwhelmed and knowing that you're just supposed to be there to, you know, out of the way, but helping them out. And so, I don't know. I just kind of waited. I asked him if he, so I did, this was my one conversation with a famous person with Jamie Foxx. I just said, can I get you anything? No, I'm good. Bring some. And I was like, oh, he's not even just saying, no, I'm good. He's asking, he's like talking to me.
Oh my gosh. So what'd you say? Did you stutter? And
I said, no, luckily. I said, oh, I'm originally from Chicago, but I moved here about 7 months ago.
Wow.
And I said, so welcome to New Orleans. And he just said, oh, yeah, the good old 312.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
That's very cool.
So it was a momentous occasion.
But Jamie Foxx was not the only famous person in there.
There were
a few other people.
So an attractive blonde woman comes up and gives him a hug and is talking and looking at her and thinking, okay, I definitely know that this is someone.
Right.
And I hear her introduce herself to someone else and she goes, hi, I'm Stacy. And so I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And it was Stacy Keibler, who George Clooney made famous by dating. And
wow.
She's beautiful.
Yes, I can I can confirm that from a male perspective. She is beautiful. So.
And she was my favorite female in the suite. So there were a lot of like random models, definitely, you know, Eastern European with these accents and.
Wow.
But she's a former Ravens cheerleader.
Stacy Keibler?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Did not know that.
But she was just in jeans and a Ravens shirt and a Ravens hat with her hair in like a braid and looked absolutely gorgeous, but also normal. I'm going to watch.
That sounds incredible.
Right. So, wow. I mean, I was turned on.
I'm going to segue there. I've heard that women also really enjoyed the halftime show, which obviously you didn't get to see, but I've heard that the women were enamored with Beyonce during halftime. So you were not the only one that day that was turned on by another woman. So don't feel bad.
Well, I was definitely interested to see how famous people would react to Beyonce since they're also famous. I don't know. I thought that it might be a little bit different somehow.
Okay.
But I mean, they seem pretty normal. They got their like little rings that were going up. I don't know if you guys saw the LED stuff.
Yeah.
And they're jamming out, watching it on TV.
Nice.
Because we actually had the back of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Halo and wanted to cry a little bit. There she was live singing Halo. My favorite Beyonce song.
Well, that's pretty cool. Beyond Jamie Foxx and Stacy Keibler, are there a couple other people, though?
Yeah, we had Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Big name I've ever seen.
And then Swizz Beatz, who's Alicia Keys' husband, was in our suite most of the time.
Wow.
And I didn't really recognize him at first, but then I put two and two together. And then right after halftime, he said, Alicia's going to come here for a little bit. So Alicia Keys came by our suite.
Wow.
And she looked gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
And then later, Alec Baldwin was out in the hallway. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Whenever they exit, people are just there, like, taking so many pictures. So I didn't get to say anything or take any pictures, but
okay.
It was really cool to see, like, Alec Baldwin.
Right. Yeah, that's
right
nuts.
Right up close.
Funny that you saw Alec Baldwin, because if you Google Busta Rhymes, he actually looks like Tracy Morgan, who is a co-star with Alec Baldwin on 30 Rock. One question. Did Busta Rhymes have on normal clothes or just a wife beater, because on all these Google images, it's mostly him in a wife beater showing off his tattoos.
He was wearing normal clothes. I would say most of the men were pretty normally dressed. It was jeans and a t-shirt, you know, maybe nicer pants and a button-up.
Okay.
Nothing. The women
nothing
were
crazy.
Dressed to the nines
okay.
for most of the part.
Except for Stacy Keibler. Stacy Keibler was in the normal
yeah.
clothes and
yeah,
the...
and then there were two. There were two normal-looking, like blonde girls about our age, who were in 49ers shirts. Just
in
jeans.
Wow. So all the Eastern European girls were dressed in their half-naked dresses and putting on their accents for this wealthy business person?
Yeah, and then maybe some video dancers.
Video dancers? Oh, like
backup
dancers?
Black woman.
Well, I'm sure Busta Rhymes brought in a few for his personal entertainment.
Yeah, one girl was wearing this black top, and then it was sheer all the way to her belly button, a la J-Lo.
Wow.
And she ended up throwing up in the bathroom because she had a little bit too much Cristal.
So wealthy people and famous people throw
just
up in
like
drinking too. Okay, good.
Yeah, they throw up in they throw up in toilets just like us.
I speak for yourself, Allison. I don't know what kind of drinking habits you have, but it's good to know famous people have their vices as well.
Sometimes they overindulge, yes.
Okay, interesting. And then you said also in your email that you thought Emmy Rossum could have possibly been there, but you did not get confirmation.
Yeah, there was a girl who really looked like her and was dressed similar to how I've seen, you know, she kind of has like a certain style
right.
that I've seen in magazines and, you know, online.
Okay.
But I never heard her say her name, and I kept trying to get it and, or, you know, if anyone else to call out to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got that. So I don't know if it was actually her, but she seemed to know, you know, Jamie Foxx well enough.
Interesting. And for those of you who don't know who Emmy Rossum is, she's the star or co-star, whatever you want to call her, of the Showtime series Shameless. Just one of the attractive females that they have on that show. And I think she's also, I don't know if she's originally from Chicago, but the show is based in Chicago, and she would be an interesting person, I think, to meet at an event like that. But I think overall it's just interesting you didn't get to see one play of the game. Like it's so crazy it was that busy for over 3 hours and you're
yeah,
just
I mean there
running
just ended
around
up
serving.
Being a lot of people in the suite.
Yeah,
a few people working it.
So you said there were 40 seats. Do you think there were more people than just the 40 people there were seats for?
I would say there were probably 60 people in the suite.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
And at the beginning, I did hear, you know, people saying, do you think you could get more tickets? Do you think you could get more tickets? And so somehow they were also, you know, procuring other tickets to get people in the suite area.
That's the thing about famous people is they have connections that allow them to do cool things like that and allow them to add an additional 12 bottles of Cristal on top of their order.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you heard a Halo during halftime, but then did you know the game ended? How did you realize that people were you know winding down and leaving? Because one thing you also mentioned to me was you're not even sure if you noticed that the stadium blacked out when the power went out.
No, I did not know that for a good 15 minutes, right, because it was out for about 30, and when I finally kind of put two and two together, because our toilet wasn't flushing,
oh.
and then I knew that the TVs were out.
Okay.
And so I was a little bit confused, and then I heard someone say, oh, it's going to be about 10 to 15 more minutes, they're saying.
Hmm.
But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of picking up people talking, like, wait, oh, they aren't playing right now, like, the game has stopped.
So did you know when the game ended and like who won the game and anything that happened, or did you have to pick that up from just listening to conversation?
So towards the end of the game, I was in the kitchen washing dishes. And I'm going to make a side note right here that I will say a lot of the people who are a little bit, who are supposed to be the controlling factors in the kitchen, were not very accommodating to our situation in ways that they were supposed to be. You know, a tweet was supposed to be, you don't say no. And they wanted two people in the suite at all time. And, you know, I would have this woman coming to me and she's like, you need to get in the kitchen right now and get those dishes off this cart. We need the cart and you need to like clean up dishes. So here I am like washing dishes instead of attending to, you know, and so that was hard. It was hard because you know, I didn't know how to say, no, I can't do that right now. I'm supposed to be here. And, you
Right.
know, these people who spent a lot of money
Wow.
need this hand in the room.
Well, you would think that if this woman, Catherine, was going to entertain her wealthy business client and bring in all these famous actors and actresses and musicians, that she would ensure that there were, 4 to 5 servers to accommodate her guests. But I guess even wealthy people don't get it right sometimes.
I mean, it ended up being, I stayed after the game for like an hour talking to different managers about how it went, because obviously this was a big deal for them too,
Oh,
and they
yeah. Yeah.
had a lot of meetings about the suite, and they were, you know, apologetic that we were so busy, but
Wow.
also, you know, grateful that it ended up running all right. And
So did they have the meetings?
just reiterating that they had said they only needed two suite attendants, so.
Right. I was gonna say, did they have the meetings specifically for Suite 416?
Yes. Yeah,
Oh,
they met
wow. So did they.
specifically like with people to order all the food and, you know,
Wow.
make sure that they had needs. We were in a suite that had extra electrical outlets and things like that, so they could charge their phones and
Oh, geez. Well, I was gonna say, it makes me wonder, obviously they put a lot of effort towards this one particular suite, but it makes me wonder who was in the other suites. And I don't think that anything probably came close to the one you were in.
yeah, the actually two seats down from me were the Ravens owners,
Oh, wow. Yeah.
so that was pretty cool. You know, obviously they were really excited.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's the guy that got to lift the Lombardi trophy
Yeah, head
after the
on down
game.
there.
And wow, that's pretty insane. So you're washing dishes an hour after the game. Were you
Yeah, well,
you were
even
there
so at
until
the end of the game,
yeah.
I definitely saw San Francisco scored the touchdown, number one. And then they were saying, you know, I didn't hear about the safety at all. I didn't know
Oh,
that
yeah.
there had been, you know, this intentional safety, a huge moment in a Super Bowl game.
Well, let me just point out, from a gambling perspective, all of the crazy things that happened in this game. First of all, you had the big lead, which there are prop bets on how big the leads will be. Then you had the comeback, and then you had a 2-point conversion attempt. You had a missed field goal. You had a special teams touchdown, right? I think there was a
Yeah,
punt return, and
your
then.
turn to kick off.
Yeah, and then you had a safety, and that hit on some of the biggest prop bets that you can bet on in Vegas. And I haven't seen any of the numbers about how bad Vegas got hit, but I assume the underdog, the Ravens, covering and winning the game outright. And, that people tend to bet on the public team like the 49ers, so maybe that helped them, but. My first reaction watching all these plays was, oh my God, like a safety is like plus 1100, a 2-point conversion is probably plus 500, a defensive touchdown, like I don't know, it was pretty crazy and definitely an interesting game to watch, but it was also probably really interesting just being in that environment. But, you know,
I definitely thought the 49ers won.
Right. So you were there pretty late, and then how did you find out about the game itself?
Well, when everyone was leaving, the Ravens were doing their Seven Nation Army chant.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, it's nice to keeping up the spirit. You know, they got to go to the Super Bowl anyway. And then when people left the suite, I finally looked down and I was like, wait, there's all Ravens fans still here. And then, you know, it's like up on the screens. Ravens win. I was like, okay. So they didn't score. You know, and I go and, like, I don't think it was until Monday that I figured out all about the safety.
Wow.
And, you know, them not scoring in the red zone, so.
Jeez. Yeah, that it definitely was, it was not an end of the game that you wanted to miss. But then again, I think I probably would have traded for an experience like you had. just being around just all the interesting people and in an environment that not a lot of people get to experience. So after the blackout happened, I don't know, you know, what you heard about, but the 49ers were, you know, down huge. Coach Harbaugh of the Ravens was infuriated with officials during the blackout because the Ravens had just returned that touchdown, a special teams touchdown. They had all the momentum in the game, and after the blackout, the 49ers kind of got a chance to regroup, and they just had a furious comeback in the third quarter. And I credit the Ravens for not, you know, giving in fully to that comeback. But I'm wondering how the people in the suite were reacting. You know, were they more preoccupied with their Cristal and Johnny Walker and the other famous beautiful people, or did you actually see reactions from them? Like, did Stacey Keibler, you know, jump up in joy when the Ravens won the game, or was she, you know, sipping on a bottle of champagne?
I would say the suite was split pretty evenly, and I never saw Stacey Keibler drinking. I don't think I ever gave her a drink.
Interesting.
But, yeah, people would come up on certain plays. They'd be like, oh, we need a champagne toast to that. And
let's drink a bottle of Cristal to that first down.
Yeah, people started when the 49ers started making a comeback. I would say the drinking picked up a lot more. And I think it was both, like, and yes, we got this. Let's start, like, let's get really pumped up. I want to just, like, keep drinking champagne.
Jeez.
And then also, I'm sure there were some people who were like, oh, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, my gosh. That's nuts.
And then at the end of the game, they did take some Patron shots.
Okay. They put those 60
shot glasses to good use. Oh, I don't know how interested they were in the, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it was because of the outcome of the game or just, you know, it was there in the suite and it was time to leave.
I can't speak for how famous people act, but if there's Patron and it's time to leave, you should probably finish the Patron before you go to Bourbon Street or whatever you're.
Yeah, they went to Harrah's afterwards. Actually, I do know that.
Harrah's, yes, there is a casino in the French Quarter. Not that I'm familiar personally, but so what was the environment just around New Orleans like? You know, leading up to the Super Bowl, post Super Bowl, I'm sure you didn't get to experience a lot of that because you probably just went home and passed out immediately after
yes.
the game. But I, you know, from what I saw on TV, people were pretty pumped up about it in the area.
You know, I would say that Saints fans did really well for themselves. They came out, you know, the mayor declared it Saints Day on Friday, and so everyone was wearing their Saints jerseys, and there were, you know, it was a crowd downtown, and hoodats were flying.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, I was just making jokes with people, like, oh, yeah, you guys would, you know, make this a Saints weekend instead of Ravens 49ers.
Cool.
I went to a concert, and it was just a big New Orleans, you know, Saints fest. They were cheering about black and gold, and it
Wow.
was crazy, though. They didn't make the playoffs,
I know.
but.
Well, they had their own issues to deal with this season. But I mean, I've only been to New Orleans one time, and it was one of the best times of my life, hands down. So I can't really imagine what a Super Bowl weekend would be like, but it was probably pretty crazy, and I'm jealous I could not be there to experience it.
Well, yeah, you know, people are—they're trying to get the 2018 bid, and so people being friendly, nice, and pumped out about New Orleans is just going to help
Gotcha.
out with that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'll let you go, Allison. I appreciate you coming on the podcast and telling us about your very unique experience and insight into the inner workings of the Superdome during the Super Bowl. So, thanks again, and we'll call you again sometime.
Yeah, great. Thank you.